You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us out at Grace Chapel at Grace Ranch for our night number two of our ministers' conference. Steve, would you lead us in prayer?
Father, we thank you very, very much for the grace that you've extended unto us and the mercy. And we just pray, Lord, that you will strengthen us, Lord, that you'll give us boldness and courage, and that you'll just fill us up with thy word, that we may go forward, having our batteries charged in your service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Put your hands together.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Are you free?
Yes.
Really? Are you all sure of that? Everybody's got it down, Pat? So we can all go home now, right? So we're not really free yet, are we? We've still got learning to do. We still have things that we need to learn about ourselves. And we have things that we still need to learn about the Lord. Or else this would be one short conference. But we can just praise Him and love Him and want to serve Him. But if you want to serve Him, well, let's just go on over to Ephesians 4, starting at verse 1. Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Do you know your vocation? Do you know what the vocations are? I see one person nod their head. Verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, enduring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Praise God for that, right? Amen. Wherefore he saith, when he ascendeth up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Here's the list of vocations. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Which vocation is yours? Are you walking in that vocation? Are you studying and learning to attain the vocation you're at so you can understand it and grow in it? And are you studying and learning to bring yourself up to the next level? That isn't you start out as a teacher and you stay there for the next 50 years. You don't start out as a pastor and stay there until they put that first shovel of dirt over your box. And as we all know, there's not a one that is called to warm a pew. Most people have been coming here for year after year after year. And it seems like everybody's in the same vocation that they were when they started. I know when I started, you know, Steve talks and jokes about how Davey told him that the dog had more discernment than him. Huh? Oh, I hear you. Amen. Well, when I started, I was probably the flea on the dog that had more discernment than me. If you think you've attained that spot, or you've attained that goal, then you need to reread this section. Nowhere walking in this world do you want one job without ever ascending up to another one. Working for the Lord, which is what we are all called to do, you are never and should never sit back and be comfortable with where you're at. I know I wasn't. I'm still not. And believe me, there are days when I come up here and I wonder what I might be able to deliver that another person could possibly need. But then I have to remember that there's a reason, and I don't need to know why it is. I don't need to know the reason. And as we've been talking about being still and trying to listen for the Spirit and learning to listen to the Spirit, there are days when I walk up to this podium, I have no idea what I'm going to say because it hadn't been given to me yet. Praise God that it is given to me every time when I need it. I'm not perfect in listening to that Spirit yet. One day I hope I can be. It is a work in progress. And you can't stop. You can't get comfortable where you are. We are all called to one of these vocations. I'm called a pastor. When I became a pastor, I wasn't ready. I'll stand before you right now and tell you, I was not ready. But if I had waited until I was ready, I would have never done it. I would have never been standing right here before you now. You know, Ricky and I have one thing in common. We both decided that we needed something different about 1989. That was when I came to the Lord. And I kind of gave up me. But that didn't truly happen until I found out and removed the lies that I had been told from all the different various churches that I had gone to. I was there every Sunday. I was there every Saturday cleaning everything up and doing lawn work and all this stuff to make sure it was ready for Sunday. I was there every Wednesday night. I went to all the Bible studies. The thing I lacked most of all is I was not reading the Word of God in the King James Bible. I was reading the NI Poison version. And that's what I knew. Parts of it, anyhow. Of course, mostly what I knew was something that somebody else told me what it said. Did I check it out? Did I read it myself? Did I double check what they were telling me? I'd have to give myself an F on that one. I totally failed on that one. And I bought their little books that the, each one of them, you know, how to follow Jesus, how to have faith, how to have all these things. There's only one book you need to know, learn, and walk in Jesus Christ. It's not put out by some author. It's not on a bookshelf in the back corner there for sale. It's the King James Bible. And if anybody doesn't have one and needs one, let us know. We will get you a Bible. If your Bible is not dog-eared, little messy, you know, paper stuck all over the place in it, if it looks like it is brand new and you did not buy it last month, you're not reading it. You're not studying God's Word. And you cannot attain what the Lord has for you unless you do study His Word. You can't wait for it to come around once a Sunday. Or once a Sunday and Tuesday night Bible study if you listen to it. Or Wednesday nights. Or Thursday nights. That's not enough. And there are still times every once in a while I find myself falling short where I get busy with things and I fail to get into the Word. And I'm ashamed to say those are some of the days that seem to be the hardest. They're the hardest days. Seems like things don't want to go right those days. It seems you're on a constant battle, a constant fight against yourself to accomplish things. And of course, if you're not walking in the Lord, then you're going to have things come against you that are going to assist that. There's plenty of his minions out there running around that would just love to somebody to throw something in your path to slow you down or stop you. But the truth is, you will stop you more than they will. We're talking about getting back to basics. You cannot get any more basic than this book. This book is a history lesson. This book is the future of the world. It tells you exactly what's going to happen. And this book is for right now, this minute, and every minute of every single day. And you know what's cool? Jesus Christ wins. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'm not going to be long. I said that one time. So, Brother Bob wanted to know what he could give you. Love. Amen. That's what a pastor gives. Love. Amen?
Amen.
I'll tell you a little secret. The sound of which you've heard in the past. But I don't know if you were listening or not. Faith cometh by hearing. Amen. Hearing by the Word of God.
Amen.
You hear what I'm saying?
Amen.
Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of the doctors. Oh yeah, it does. People put their faith in the doctors all the time. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of the president. Your congressman. Senator. Teacher. Mother, father. There is a faith that comes from all these things. But not the faith of God. The faith of God is the faith of Jesus. And when you hear the word of God, I mean you hear it. You receive it. It draws the Holy Spirit to you like a magnet. And Jesus puts his faith in you. He puts his faith in you. So that he then can say he is the author and finisher of your faith.
Amen.
You can't take credit for it. You can't take credit for it. But it starts with hearing the Word of God and receiving it. You don't have to understand it. I know these little children in here. I can ask one of them to turn on a light or turn off a light. And they can do it. Not a problem. Without a doubt, it'll work. Amen. But they don't understand how it works. They don't have to. Did not Jesus say, except you come to him as one of these little children? One of these little ones, you can no wise inherit the kingdom of heaven. The child doesn't question how it works. Turn on the light. Flip that switch. It works. That's all they need to know. That's all you need to know. All you need to know is if God says it, it works. If Jesus says it, it works. That's all you got to know. You don't have to understand how. You don't even have to understand why. You just know it works. If he says two or more touching agree, asking anything in my name, I'll give it to you. You don't have to sit down and say, now let's see. What did I do yesterday? What did I do today? That makes me worthy of this. You won't find anything. Oh, you may come up with some answers you think are good, but he won't think they're good. Nothing you can do in your flesh can serve God. Nothing. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You receive the word. Now, see, people miss things. I praise God that the Lord has opened my eyes to certain things. Little dinky things that most people never catch. It says, faith cometh. You get that? Faith cometh. In order for faith to cometh, it has to go from one place to another. Amen. It's not faith pops in your head. It's not faith just somehow or another goes, there it is. There it is. There's another faith. There it is. That's not how it works. Faith cometh. By hearing the word of God. You hear the word of God and you believe it. Faith comes to you from Jesus. Do not confuse that faith with natural faith. Don't confuse it with natural faith, because natural faith is caught up in the things of the world. But the faith I'm talking about is the faith that Jesus Christ himself has. In his Father, in himself. And if you will believe and you will receive in you, because he isn't going to put his faith in a trash can to be wasted. He's going to put his faith in a vessel that will take that faith and glorify him and magnify him and show forth the world what a wonderful, precious God and Savior we have. Not by your works, but by his works. Amen. They may be manifested through you. But the light bulb cannot take credit for the light. Neither can the wire. For the light comes from the power station. And when you believe God's word and he puts his faith in you, then you're as the wire power of God passing through you to that person, man or woman or child, that needs it. You hearing what I'm saying? You've heard faith is the evidence. Is that what? That what faith is? What? Substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. You hope for healing? Do you hope for healing? You hope? Do you hope to be healed? Then that's evidence. That's evidence. If you hope to be healed, that is evidence that his faith is in you. Let it become the substance. And let it be seen. Let it be. Amen. Amen. All right, I want to do that song. Free. Now, when you sing this song, stand up and sing it like free people.
There is love.
You know, it's funny. You don't have to study the Bible every day to be free. Praise God, you don't have to. Now, don't hear me wrong. I'm not telling you not to study the Bible. That's not what I'm saying. But look, you know, when we were born in this country, were we born American citizens, a place where people wanted to come to be free? We were born that way. Paul talks about it. He was born a Roman citizen, right? The centurions ask him, and he says, I was born free. The centurion says, I had to purchase this at a great price. See, if we believe the gospel, if we believe the sufficiency of the blood of the Lamb, we are free. Amen. Amen. We don't need anything more. The rest of it is. We now have to learn how to walk in that kingdom. We have to learn how to walk and enjoy and partake of all the good things of the kingdom of God. But we are free from that moment. Don't let anybody take that freedom away from you. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. We are free, and we need to walk forward in that. Now, I just wanted to say a couple things here real quick. It's funny. You know, Davey said, hey, Steve, preach today after Bob. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, what do I say now? I mean, you know, unless you preach like a week-long revival or you've done one of these things, you really don't have any idea. You like you go through two or three, four or five preachings in a row, and then you're like, I don't have anything left. But the beauty is God does. See, he does. And one of the things that struck me, and I wanted to highlight this for us right now, the Apostle Paul said something. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I believe. Yeah, it's in verse 9. Actually, Jesus said something to the Apostle Paul. But it's important. Because I remember, like, Ann, remember you were giving your testimony, was it last night? Yeah, you were sharing your testimony last night. And, you know, when you were sitting there and you couldn't breathe, and the doctor told you that if they hadn't brought you to the hospital that day, you would have died or you'd have woken up a vegetable. That's what they told her. That was 3 years ago here. And then, as Davey says, he began dealing with you on some things that he had needed to deal with you on for a while. And I'm sure as soon as he started sharing these things, you felt like strong, well able to go through and deal with all of these things, didn't you? I mean, just instantaneously, presto, I am ready, Lord! Right? Nah, man, that wasn't there at all. My guess is you felt like, are you freaking kidding me? How am I ever going to get through this? Is that about it? I understand. That's how I felt today when Davey said, I got to preach. It's truth be told. And
still seven. Waiting.
What's that?
Still waiting.
There you go. Praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. And this is Jesus. And he said unto me, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, it's interesting. I was looking it up. My strength is made perfect in weakness. You know what the word weakness means there? Feeble. Basically, incapable of doing anything. All right? And you know what it says when you go down here and you look at the next place where it says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities? You know what the word translated infirmities is? The same one. The same word. In other words, his feebleness. He doesn't have to hide his feebleness. He doesn't have to because, see, in his feebleness, God's power is most needed. Because he can't do anything. What did Jesus say? Without me, you can do nothing? Does that not sound like feeble? That sounds like feeble to me. And it was interesting, and I was thinking about this today, and I'd like to turn to 2 Kings 19. Some of you guys have heard of this King Hezekiah. Let me just, while you're switching to there, I want to put a couple things in mind. Hezekiah's father was a king of Judah who made his children pass through the fire to the abomination of Chemosh, I think it was. But whatever abomination it was, he made them pass through the fire. His father was a man who commanded the high priest, who obeyed him rather than God. And he started bringing all sorts of things that were contrary to the word into the temple. And the people were completely turned away from the Lord. Now Hezekiah, at the age of 25, comes to power and to rule. And he realizes Israel's been wrong. And he gets rid of all of it. He gets rid of all of it, and he reorders things aright. And while he's doing this, Assyria, a mighty nation next to them, came up, and it was during his time they carried Israel away captive, never to return. So imagine it. You're Judah. This is one out of 12 tribes. All the other 10 tribes. What, two? You're saying Benjamin as well. Yes. But all the other 10 tribes, gone. And now the same guy who's carried 10 of the tribes captive and defeated every other nation around is coming against you. And actually, I think I got to go back to 18, excuse me. One of the things you'll notice about Hezekiah, and I don't recall specifically if you'll see it as much right in this, is Isaiah the prophet was a prophet in Israel at the time of Hezekiah. And you will see Hezekiah lean on and yield to the counsel of Isaiah over and over and over and over again. Yields to it. Does that not sound rather feeble of a king? But he realized that he believed God, and therefore he believed the one who God had established, which was the prophet Isaiah. And he submitted himself unto him. I'm going to seek to go through this quickly. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was also Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places and brake the images and cut down the groves and brake in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it. And he called it Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. Now think of that. He trusted in the Lord above all of them. And who did he continuously listen to? But another man. So many of Hezekiah's prayers were answered by a man. Answered by a man. For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. Well, I mean, the truth of the matter was, his rebellion to the king of Assyria was not wrong. He was the king of Israel. Right? But I don't think the king of Assyria saw it that way. He smote the Philistines even unto Gaza and the borders thereof, from the tower of the watchman to the fenced city. And it came to pass in the fourth year of Hezekiah, which was the seventh year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up against Samaria. Samaria was the capital of Israel, and besieged it. And at the end of 3 years, they took it. So this all happened during Hezekiah's time. They took it. Israel falls. Even in the sixth year of Hezekiah, that is the ninth year of Hoshea, king of Israel, Samaria was taken. And the king of Assyria did carry away Israel unto Assyria and put them in Hala. and in Habor by the river of Gozan and in the cities of the Medes, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord their God, but transgressed his covenant and all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded, and would not hear them nor do them. It's interesting you're talking about hear. Faith cometh by hearing. What would they not do? They would not hear. So what was there? Was there faith? Did God put his faith in them? No. And so they had their faith in every other thing. And it all failed them. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So it goes on. And it says, and the king of Assyria did carry away Israel. Well, I read that one. 13. Now in the 14th year of King Hezekiah did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, come up against all the fenced cities of Judah and took them. Uh-oh. Same guy who took care of Israel is now coming, and not only coming, he's winning. He's winning. Any of us ever feel like that's happening in our lives, where the enemy is winning? And watch. And Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria to Lachish, saying, I have offended. Return from me, that which thou puttest on me will I bear. And the king of Assyria appointed unto Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. And Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasures of the king's house. At that time did Hezekiah cut off the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord and from the pillars which Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid, and gave it to the king of Assyria. You'd think it was enough, wasn't it? Not enough. Not enough to appease the king of Assyria. Watch what happens. And the king of Assyria sent Tartan and Rabsaris and Rabshakeh from Lachish to King Hezekiah with a great host against Jerusalem. Oh boy, that worked. I gave him everything. I didn't spare anything. I gave them everything, and this is the response I get. It's not sufficient. And now I'm even weaker than I was before. See, the enemy's a liar. The enemy robs and steals and takes from you. So watch. And when they had called, and the king of Assyria sent Tartan and Rabsaris and Rabshakeh from Lachish to King Hezekiah with a great host against Jerusalem. And they went up and came to Jerusalem. And when they were come up, they came and stood by the conduit of the upper pool, which is in the highway of the fuller's field. And when they had called to the king, there came out to them Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and Joah, the son of Asaph, the recorder. And Rabshakeh said unto them, speak ye now to King to Hezekiah. Thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this wherein thou trustest? Now, first of all, when you hear this kind of question, it should be an immediate red flag recognizing from whence this question's coming from. Doesn't that sound like an odd question? I mean, the guy's just giving them everything. But see, what he's taunting him is his faith in Christ. Well, in God and the Christ he was to send. Thou sayest, but they are but vain words, I have counsel and strength for the war. Now on whom dost thou trust that thou rebellest against me? Now behold, thou trustest upon the staff of this bruised reed, even upon Egypt, on which if a man lean, it will go into his hand. It's more and more like our nation. On which if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, unto all that trust on him. But if ye say unto me, we trust in the Lord our God, is not that he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah hath taken away, and hath said to Judah and Jerusalem, ye shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem? Now therefore I pray thee, give pledges to my Lord the king of Assyria, and I will deliver thee 2,000 horses, if thou be able on thy part to set riders upon them. How then wilt thou turn away the face of one captain of the least of my master's servants, and put thy trust on Egypt for chariots and for horsemen? Am I now come up without the Lord against this place to destroy it? The Lord said to me, go up under the, against this land and destroy it. Then said Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and Shebna, and Joah, under Rabshakeh, speak, I pray thee, to thy servants in the Syrian language, for we understand it, and talk not with us in the Jews' language, in the ears of the people that are on the wall. See, they were doing all of this to cause the children of Israel, or the children of Judah, to falter in the faith that Hezekiah and Isaiah were encouraging them to return to. See, when you go forth from this minister's convention right here, you're amongst brethren. And you're going to go forth and you're going to be pumped up and ready to go, and I'm going to go and stuff like that. And then you're going to hit things. And you're going to go into the real world where people come against the faith that you want to stand in. You're going to get bombarded from every side. And they're going to do it in your language. They're not going to do it in something. You're their target. You're their target. That's why they were speaking unto them in the Hebrew tongue. Their target was the people of Judah. So he goes on and he says, 27, but Rabshakeh said unto them, hath my master sent me to thy master and to thee to speak these words? Hath he not sent me to the men which sit on the wall, that they may eat their own dung and drink their own piss with you? I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound very attractive, does it? The fact of the matter is, these guys who were saying this had caused just that to come to pass. When you read about the children of Israel getting carried away captive, their women were ripped open with children. They would take a sword right to the pregnant woman's belly and rip them open. Imagine. That's who you're facing. That's who he was facing. They weren't facing somebody who was just saying, oh, no, look, we're really nice guys. They had demonstrated over and over and over again they weren't nice at all. And they didn't care. And they would destroy you. And he says, thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you out of his hand. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us, and this city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Hearken not to Hezekiah, for thus saith the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me by a present, and come out to me, and then eat ye every man of his own vine, and every one of his own of his fig tree, and drink ye every one the waters of his cistern, until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of corn and wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of oil, olive, and of honey, that ye may live and not die. And hearken not unto Hezekiah when he persuadeth you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Hath any of the gods of the nations delivered at all his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and of Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim, Hena, and Iva? Have they delivered Samaria out of my hand? Who are they among all the gods of the countries that have delivered their country out of mine hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? But the people held their peace and answered him not a word. Think of that. Look at that. The people held their peace and answered him not a word. Now, Anne, when Davey first started dealing with you on some of these different issues, and you were having the issue with COPD and the diabetes, did the doctors agree with anything he was telling you? Have they ever agreed? I mean, were they not constantly encouraging you rather to put your faith in them and what they could give you? And did any of it work? When you were putting your faith in them and doing what they were doing, what was happening? Was your breathing getting better? It was stabilized. I'd wear oxygen. But the Lord's provided out here wasn't sufficient. Right? And the fact of the matter is, see, that's the same thing. We go out there, man, we were just watching some football game the other day for a little bit, and I'm watching as all the drug companies are putting their ads, man, you need this pill for that, you need that pill for the other thing, and you need this pill for the other thing. And look, this is going to happen. Look, the bird flu's coming. I mean, everything is fear. Everything is fear, 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 fear. every which way you turn. Every which way you turn is something, again, in the flesh you're lacking. Man, if I get the right car, I'm going to get the right girl. If I get the right cologne, I'm going to get the right guy. I'm going to get, you know, all these different things. It's all BS. But it's everywhere, and everybody only talks about that. It's what everybody talks about. People are talking about complaining about the government. It's all about fear, and it's pride and vanity. There's nothing constructive or productive about it. But what did Hezekiah, commanded them? It said, he had commanded them that they answer him not, and the people obeyed. They were of one mind. See that? They were of one mind. Think of that. I mean, their life is under threat, and they were of one mind. Then came Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and Joah the son of Asaph, the recorder, to Hezekiah with their clothes rent, and told him the words of Rabshakeh. And it came to pass, when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth. And where did he go? Into the house of the Lord. Let's see what he said. And he sent Eliakim, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. So he goes to the house of the Lord, and he sends his servants unto to Isaiah the prophet. And they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah. This is what they say unto Isaiah. This day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and blasphemy. Now, this part I wanted to get to. For the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. Do you ever come here? Have you at all this week ever thought, as you're listening to these things, how can I do it? Right? How am I going to do that? I mean, you got testimony of things that don't seem to testify very well of you that you're going to be able to do it. But if you've been listening to the message, when we're reading in Galatians 2:16, whose faith is it accomplished by? And if you hear the word of faith in Christ Jesus, what happens? Jesus takes and puts his faith in you. See, you don't have to be strong. When the Lord said to Paul, my strength is made perfect in weakness, Paul received with that gladness. He didn't try to stop being weak. He didn't try to hide his weakness. He didn't try any of those devices, those games, to try to make him to be something other than he was. He recognized that the glory, that God was glorified in being able to take such a feeble vessel as Paul, who, notwithstanding his best efforts, could not get shed of an issue that he had. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And Paul heard it. And he received it. And that grace was sufficient for him. Was it not? That grace is sufficient for you. That grace is sufficient for me. If you read the rest of chapter 19, you're going to find that grace was sufficient for Judah. And you know what? That king, you know how many men died? I don't know how many men died in one day. Because they left and they came back. When they came back, 185,000 men were slain in a day without Judah raising a weapon against them. 185,000 men of war. 185,000. Can you imagine? But what happened is, and I'll just read you a little farther. You know, he said, and there is not strength to bring forth, that's to the birth in verse 3. It may be the Lord thy God. See, he wasn't operating in presumption. It may be the Lord thy God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, has sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore, lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah, and Isaiah said unto them, thus shall ye say to your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. So what happens? He returns and he dies. It's exactly what happened. And if you go through what happens, they come back again later and you have the same type of thing. And that's when the 185,000 died, because the enemy didn't just give up. He didn't just come once. See, that's what we get into these things where we think, Ann, did it happen in one day? Was it like yesterday that Ann couldn't breathe and they told her this was going to happen? Was it yesterday? It was 3 years ago. Oh, and so, and Jess, you were testifying just yesterday about how, like, maybe last week, after you were testifying of how God had delivered you of even the diabetes, what happened? Her sugar spiked. I can tell you, I mean, that happens all the time. It happens all the time. As soon as you go and tell somebody else, now all of a sudden, the devil's like, well, wait a second, this is spreading. This is spreading. I mean, other people might catch this. We got to put a stop to this. That's all it is. That's all it is. This might spread. We better put a stop to it. So, bang, take this. But the fact of the matter is, did you have to be very loud? Yeah. You just had to believe what you said. Right, she had to say it out loud. I rebuke you, Satan. I'm not going to accept this. I'm going to believe God. And what? The enemy had no more power over her. And she woke up in the morning, everything was right. Praise God. So I share this with you, and if you read the rest of the chapter, it's a good chapter. Don't get me wrong, but I wanted to get to that place where they were without strength. But you know what? Didn't matter. It was a decision they made to believe God. And when they chose to believe God, God moved. Don't let anybody rob you of that faith that Christ has put in you. Amen.
Selves in the sight of the Lord.
worship you with all of my strength.
Past the outer courts into the holy place.
Praise God. It's a good song to end on. Yeah, the line I like in it for us as we go forward is, your love came down and turned me around. Amen. Amen. We need some turning around, huh? And may he accomplish it in each of us. Amen.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
Listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.